This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Authorities in York County, Pennsylvania say three detectives were killed yesterday, two other officers injured, when a man ambushed them while officers tried to serve a warrant. ABC's Mola Lange says the shooter, identified as Matthew James Ruth, is also dead.
According to authorities, this was not a long relationship that his ex-girlfriend and he had not apparently dated for very long, but they were involved, and that he, according to the ex-girlfriend, had sort of stalked and prowled around the house, and that there were several incidents leading up to the shootout with police that had made her uncomfortable, things that she had wanted to report before, including her pickup truck that had been set on fire.
Several Northeast states creating a public health alliance to promote and protect evidence-based public health. It follows West Coast states' announcement yesterday. They were also forming an alliance to have unified recommendations that may stray from CDC's recommendations. This is ABC News.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Gas prices continue to drop in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Average gas prices fell 8 cents per gallon over the last week. The average price in the state on Monday, being $2.88, means prices are 3.9 cents higher than a month ago. However, this is still 8.5 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. More states saw decreases than increases last week, and there's good news on the horizon. The transition to cheaper winter gasoline begins on Tuesday across most of the country. Officials at Gas Buddy expect average gas prices to continue to decline in the weeks ahead, as long as hurricane season remains quiet.
Here in La Crosse, gas prices trend along with the statewide average and are comfortably under $3 per gallon. The National Weather Service has new flood mapping technology. With more, here's Civic Media's Brittany Merlot.
NOAA's new river flooding maps are out in western parts of Wisconsin, mainly focused on the Mississippi River Valley. This is a new tool that visually shows in high-resolution, street-level views of where floodwaters may rise onto land. It basically puts water on a map for forecasters to see precisely what streets and homes are at risk. It calculates the current flow of rivers and gives a new forecast update every hour for the National Weather Service to use. This will help with both flood forecasting and warnings. The flood inundation mapping, called FIP, can also forecast up to 5 days out. The program started just 2 years ago, but only covered Louisiana, New York, Pennsylvania, and Texas. Now, 60% of the country has this new information to work with. By next year, NOAA says the entire country will be covered, including eastern areas of Wisconsin, near Lake Michigan, and up north. The National Water Prediction Forecast models will be used for more than 3.6 million river miles. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You can see the maps on the National Weather Service website. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Packers prepare for Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NFL. The Packers face the Browns in Cleveland Sunday at noon. Although they're now 0-2, the Browns showed a good run defense against the Bengals and the Ravens. Matt LaFleur.
Really good players across really their whole defense. That's a big reason they're the top-ranked defense in football right now. But they've got a lot of guys that are a hard-penetrating front that caused a lot of problems for quarterbacks.
College football, Wisconsin Badgers host Maryland Saturday at 11 a.m. The Terrapins are 3-0, Wisconsin 2-1. The Brewers going for a sweep after beating the Angels again last night, 9-2 in Milwaukee. Brandon Woodruff with 10 strikeouts, allowing just one run on two hits, getting his 10th win of the season.
Tonight was a big outing for me in terms of just getting the body back acclimated. You know, it's been roughly 10 days or whatever it was, and yeah, it was huge for me to get back out there, and my body got going there in the second, and then everything kind of back to normal.
That's the Brewers' Brandon Woodruff with Sports on Mike Clemens.
1490 WLCX, real news and great conversation for La Crosse.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. A low tonight in the mid-60s and a high tomorrow in the mid-70s. Storm chances continue for the weekend, although less rain around. High temperatures will remain in the 70s. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Joe Zepecki.
As much as I disagree with Charlie Kirk, no American should ever face physical violence for what they believe. And maybe that's how we get past it and move forward, is just say, this is not about, we can't get to a period of political violence. We're in one, and now we got to get out of it. And we have to recognize each other's humanity.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Friday, our regular Week in Review panelists with any updates on who else the president has had canceled in the media. I mean, assuming it doesn't include us.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
They wish to break the entire thing. That is the objective. It isn't about efficiency. It's about breaking it. And it's about breaking it for what end?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Gerrymandering is bad for everybody.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I'm grossly discouraged, and I have given up on any justice in our system. It doesn't exist anymore.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We have an incredibly special guest that I think every single one of you should hear what he's got to say. He is former Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. He is retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret. He served our country for 25 years. He served and was deployed in Iraq, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Jordan, and the Philippines. Let me set the stage for you. After Mr. Aguilar left our military service, moved by what he saw in Gaza, he joined an organization called UG Solutions to help provide security at some of the food distribution centers in Gaza. Food and other humanitarian aid in Gaza is being distributed by a U.S. and Israeli-backed humanitarian aid initiative. It's called the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, or GHF. GHF has been delivering this aid into Gaza since late May, and it's crossed maybe about 100 million plus meals have been delivered. However, the United Nations has been reporting that hundreds, if not more than that, of Palestinians have been killed outside GHF sites. Now, there are four sites in Gaza, and many claim that the location of the sites is in an active combat zone. Think about that. Humanitarian aid being distributed in an active combat zone. How are non-combatants supposed to get there? We'll get into all of that. Now, when Mr. Aguilar arrived in Gaza in mid-May of this year, what he saw shocked him. And he filmed some of the desperation and chaos in Gaza. He filmed the use of live ammunition by defense contractors working in conjunction with the Joint U.S.-Israeli Humanitarian Aid Initiative, again also known as GHF. He also saw non-lethal munitions being used for crowd control, because when people are starving to death and you deliver, say, a handful of meals, there's going to be a crowd control problem. And on May 29th of this year, at Site 4, former Lieutenant Aguilar filmed a video in which UG Solutions ultimately posted in full on its website that has led to a whistleblower complaint and his protesting U.S.'s continued involvement and support of Israel in Gaza. I want to take a listen to some of that video from that fateful day in May. Listen carefully.
I think you hit one.
Okay. With that, let me introduce to all of you listeners, Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. And first of all, let me begin by saying thank you for your 25 years of distinguished service to our country. I appreciate that, sir.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me. And I appreciate your introduction and description of what the situation is in Gaza. It's very important that the American taxpayer, that Americans understand what's really going on in Gaza.
So let's start sort of big picture. You had served in the military. What motivated you to sign up for a private security contractor, UG Solutions, and go to Gaza?
Well, after my retirement, working for a private...
Oh, I think we just lost Lieutenant Aguilar. We will work to get him back. I want to also play for us this afternoon, Mr. Aguilar, having witnessed... Oh, he is back. Let's try again. You go ahead, sir. You were saying. And maybe check to be sure that you are unmuted. That old trick. Now let's see if we've got Lieutenant Aguilar. We're still not hearing you, sir. I'm going to put a phone number for you to call in the chat. It's 855-752-4842. We'll work to get him back. So let me share with you all the whistleblower complaint from former Lieutenant Aguilar. Again, former Green Beret Special Forces. He describes in his whistleblower complaint, again, the sound from which the day the event occurred, that is the substance of his whistleblower complaint, alleges that UG security forces killed a non-combatant that day. And I'm going to have Jacob replay the sound because you will hear someone say, "I think you hit one." So let's take another listen.
I think you hit one.
So, Lieutenant Aguilar, again, you were saying why you decided to join UG Solutions and go to Gaza. Please continue, sir.
Yes, can you hear me now?
No, we can't. Let me give you that phone number, and we're going to have you just call the old-fashioned way. That phone number is 855-752-4842. So in his whistleblower complaint, again, you hear active live ammunition. You hear one of the security contractors, according to Lieutenant Aguilar, say, "I think you hit one." And according to his whistleblower complaint, there was then an older man that basically went down. So we are now joined by Lieutenant Aguilar on the phone. So again, set the stage for us. Why did you want to go to Gaza? Why did you sign up?
Hello, can you hear me now?
Absolutely. Go ahead, sir.
Great. So I retired in March of 2025, and I was not looking for contract work or endeavoring to work for a private contract company. I was working at Lowe's Home and Garden, enjoying retirement life, really just focusing on my family. UG Solutions, who is the subcontract entity under the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, called me on May 13th of 2025, recruiting me, stating that they were specifically looking for individuals that had recently retired or recently left the military that had a special operations background. And having served in the military for as long as I had as a Green Beret in special operations, they were pursuing my employment and they were recruiting me. I had never heard of UG Solutions before as a company. I had also not heard of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. That was both of those were new to me. So I explained to the recruiter that, you know, I kind of wanted to read up on it a bit and see what I was potentially getting myself into. And the recruiter said, "Well, you know, take the afternoon. But, you know, we need to have an answer soon because you're flying. If you know, whoever signs under this contract is flying out Saturday, as in that Saturday, you know, 4 days from there." So I started to do a little bit of research, and I saw that the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation was very new. They just stood up and became an entity, an organization, a foundation, if you will, in March timeframe. So right around the time that I retired. And the premise of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation was that because UN aid under UNRWA, World Food Program, and other non-government organizations were no longer allowed into Gaza, being blocked by the Israeli government, that there was now no food, no aid, no support in any way going into Gaza, and that the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, as an American company in coordination with the Israeli government, would be the mechanism to go in and to provide this aid. From that premise, I felt that this was a noble cause to be a part of, that the blocking of aid going into Gaza was a decision far above anything that I could affect, anything that I have any impact on. And I felt that if this mechanism was going to be delivering food, that they specifically needed individuals that were had experience in operating in combat environments, high stress environments, high risk environments to deliver food to people that were in dire need, that was something that I should support and I should be a part of, feeding starving people that needed food. And I did not join the effort to be employed by GHF or to be employed by UG Solutions, nor to have a contractor, independent contract career. I specifically signed on for this operation because I wanted to be a part of this specific effort in feeding starving people.
Folks, if you're just joining us, again, we've got retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar, who has become a whistleblower. I've watched and read a number of your interviews and statements, sir, and you've described what you saw in Gaza as a dystopian post-apocalyptic wasteland. Can you describe these food distribution sites? You were at all four of these GHF-run distribution sites in Gaza, correct?
That's correct.
And can you describe them? We've got just about 2 minutes, sir. Describe them so folks get a picture of what we're talking about here.
Yeah, so if you consider during the times of the United Nations delivery, there were 400 sites throughout Gaza. Now under GHF, there were only four. Currently, there are only two. So if you imagine one served 400 sites to population of over 2 million, there's now only two sites, and they're all in the south. These sites, the food was set up on the sites, and it was delivered to the sites, but there was no distribution. It was dropped off and piled up, and the civilians that would wait in these long hours to days long lines to be released to these sites would be released in droves of thousands, far beyond the capacity of how much food was on the site. The sites then turned into these fight for the fittest or fight survival of the strongest, fight to get food, the Hunger Games scenario and situation to where only the strong get food and the weak and the vulnerable get nothing. And around these sites, on these sites, civilians would be fired at or hit with stun grenades or tear gas or pepper spray or live rounds of ammunition fired at them going and coming to the sites. Going to a site to get food became a dangerous game, a very dangerous dilemma for survival for a civilian in terms of not go and starve to death or go and risk being killed. And we've seen the numbers that have been projected in the hundreds killed at or near the sites is a gross underestimate. It's well over the thousands of people that have been killed in or near these distribution sites.
The Hunger Games, indeed. Folks, you're going to want to stay with us. The conversation continues on the other side with retired Green Beret, U.S. Army Special Forces, and now whistleblower Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. We continue to discuss what happened that fateful day in May and his witnessing of the killing of a civilian attempting to get food. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Snakes, zombies, public speaking, the list of fears is endless. But the real danger is in your hand when you're behind the wheel. Distracted driving is what's really scary, and even deadly. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got an incredibly important guest for everybody to hear from. He is retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. He's served in Iraq, Afghanistan, Tajikistan, Jordan, and the Philippines over a decorated 25-year career in our military. After retiring from the military, he was recruited by UG Solutions, a security contractor, to help provide security at aid locations run by the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which is a U.S. and Israeli-backed humanitarian aid initiative. It was stood up in February of this year. And as Lieutenant Aguilar just explained, it was stood up to help distribute food and other humanitarian aid after the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces in Israel, decided to no longer permit non-governmental organizations and the UN to distribute food. As Lieutenant Aguilar was describing before the break, before that effective blockade occurred, there were over 400 aid distribution centers across Gaza. Once that was taken over by the GHF, that was reduced to 4, and it has been further reduced. And by Lieutenant Aguilar's account, when food was delivered to these locations, these sites in Gaza, what occurred when people came to get the food because they were starving was effectively the Hunger Games. Crowd control then devolved into using live ammunition potentially on civilians who were simply trying to not starve to death. It was effectively a race for the food, a survival of the fittest, if you will. Lieutenant Aguilar, again, thank you so much for being here. When I hear that, I think to myself, aren't there supposed to be extremely clear rules of engagement and escalation of force and other standard operating procedures? Were you given any of these as a contractor? Were people just ignoring them? What is the accountability here for a contractor that opens up live ammunition and shoots a civilian.
So the assertion that there should be clear rules of engagement, a code of conduct, a standard operating procedure, escalation force measures, absolutely. Those absolutely must be put in place when you are working in such a complex environment, especially when the safeguarding of civilians is paramount. Now, we did not have rules of engagement, standard operating procedures, or escalation of force measures that were prescribed to us, nor trained, nor made clear to us what any of those standards and response measures should be. And now that I, you know, having asked the question why, when I was there under their employment, you know, we need to have a escalation of force procedure, standard operating procedures, rules of engagement. These need to be made clear. And there was a strong resistance to that, almost an acquiescence to just do whatever you feel type of an attitude. And lo and behold, the person in charge, the gentleman in charge of the entire contract in Gaza for the security under UG Solutions is a gentleman who is the national president of the Infidels Motorcycle Club, who hired many of the contractors to work for him that are active patchwork members of the Infidels Motorcycle Club. And the Infidels Motorcycle Club, the charter of the club, is to fight against jihad and the elimination of all Muslims. It is a highly Islamophobic, toxic organization. And this is the primary body from which UG Solutions hired contractors to go into Gaza, armed to the teeth with fully automatic weapons, machine guns, stun grenades, and tear gas, to deliver food to a starving population of primarily Arab Muslims. So the fact that there was a lack of any clear guidance on how to engage with the population to prevent death and injury, that wasn't prescribed, nor was it present, was intentional.
My God. That is so horrible. I'm so very rarely rendered speechless, but that's going to do it for me. Folks, if you're just joining us, the man that you just heard speaking, telling us that one of the security contractors that was hired by the U.S. and Israel to secure aid delivery sites in Gaza hired people from a motorcycle club whose express charter states that they seek to kill people who are Muslim. I have no words. Lieutenant Aguilar, let's return to the day that spurred your whistleblower complaint. Can you stick around for another segment, Lieutenant?
Of course.
Oh, great. Because this is so important for people to hear about, and I don't want to rush our discussion at all.
I'm here as long as you need me.
I deeply appreciate that, sir. I'm not going to play the sound now. I just briefly wanted to close that loop. It would seem to me that your weapons and ammunition would be concomitant with the purpose of your mission as a contractor. In other words, civilian protection, crowd control. But you were saying that you had fully automatic weaponry. You were fully armed. Your ammunition was live. Is that a correct understanding?
That is a correct understanding. And your assumption that the armament or the weapons or the tools, if you will, provided should be appropriate to the job of what we were doing, i.e. security. I was armed with more ammunition and more weaponry than I had ever been armed in the United States Army as an infantry officer and a Green Beret. And I went into Gaza more heavily armed than as an SF operator in combat.
My goodness. Folks, don't go anywhere. We're going to continue to talk with Lieutenant Aguilar about his whistleblower complaint and his activation in protesting the U.S.'s continued support of Israel in what many term a genocide in Gaza. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air. You're listening to 1490 WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Another name joins the crowded Democratic gubernatorial field for Wisconsin in 2026. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
Hong has repped Madison in the state assembly since 2021. She's the first Asian American member of the Wisconsin legislature. She's a chef and first ran for state office to advocate for restaurant workers during the pandemic. Since then, she's campaigned on a progressive working class platform, and she referenced that in her first campaign video released this morning, shot at a restaurant near the Capitol.
It's so stressful to get by these days, and I know a lot about stress. I work in restaurants. I started in this kitchen 15 years ago, and you might recognize what's across the street. A lot of people in that building don't get why it's so hard to get by right now. Working hard doesn't mean you can always keep up. One wrong step can lay you out flat. This is by design.
Shortly thereafter, she was live on the air with Civic Media's Pat Kreitlow.
Universal child care and fully funded public schools, guaranteed paid leave and cheaper health care. These are transformative policies that I think are the responsible and practical ones where people will feel and they will know that this is what can improve their lives.
So far, the Democratic field of candidates is more crowded than the Republican one. Hong is up against State Senator Kelda Royes, who announced she's running Monday, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, and Milwaukee businessman Ryan Sternad. Two Republicans have declared their candidacy, Washington County Executive Josh Shoman and businessman Bill Berrien. The primaries are next August, and the general election will follow a few months later in November. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The 2026 fall primary is 11 months from now. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. The Emmy Awards were a lot of fun for actress Kristen Milioti, who won an Emmy for her role on The Penguin. Once the actual award show ended, though, the night went south. Literally, when Milioti took a tumble and dropped her Emmy while arriving at an afterparty. The actress plays Sofia Falcone in the Batman spinoff and beat out some pretty stiff competition in Michelle Williams, Rashida Jones, and Cate Blanchett. To the best of my knowledge, the Emmy was not hurt. More news from the Emmys, and more specifically, the show White Lotus. The previous 3 years saw White Lotus as an Emmy darling, but this year the cast was completely shut out despite all seven supporting actors drawing nominations. White Lotus Season 3 won one Emmy this year for original main title music. If a show could win an Emmy Award for beautiful settings, White Lotus would probably be 4 for 4. While on the red carpet, Season 3 stars Parker Posey and Jason Isaacs let it slip that Season 4 will take place in the south of France. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 1490 WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight and tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. A low tonight in the mid-60s and a high tomorrow in the mid-70s. Storm chances continue for the weekend, although less rain around. High temperatures will remain in the 70s. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Talk about overall mental health, how we cope with this nonstop, overwhelming news. Tom, thanks for calling. What's up?
Nobody can do push-ups indefinitely, but bring this back to mental health, and suddenly we feel able to pound through this without taking any kind of a break. And it's just not the way that it works. So do any action that takes you away from whatever it is that you're stressing out. Go for a walk. Get a drink of water. Read a book.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
This week, we sit down with Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski, and she talks about her run for lieutenant governor. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We're joined for a very special interview by Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar, retired U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret. He served our country honorably for 25 years. After he was retired, just to, again, refresh our recollection of where the conversation was, he was recruited by UG Solutions to provide security at least 4 aid distribution posts in Gaza. UG Solutions is a private security contractor hired by what is known as the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation. It's basically a joint U.S.-Israeli-backed, a government-backed humanitarian aid initiative. It was created because Israel blockaded the UN and other NGOs from continuing to distribute aid in Gaza. Someone needed to. Now, what Lieutenant Aguilar has described is that previously, prior to the blockade, there were about 400 locations within Gaza distributing aid. That was reduced to 4, further reduced to 2, resulting in Hunger Games-like circumstances as people raced for foodstuffs that were simply insufficient in number to cover the literal thousands of people that had potentially waited days in line for whatever aid they were able to foot race to and grab before others. This created an environment of chaos, and according to Mr. Aguilar's whistleblower complaint, UG Solutions employees opened live ammunition fire and potentially killed a man on May 29th of this year. I want to talk about that day and what you witnessed, Lieutenant Aguilar, if you can take us through the events as you saw them unfolding, and then we'll play folks the audio from that day.
Sure. So the 29th of May, I was at secure distribution site number 4, which of the 4 sites was the northernmost, located in central Gaza. The site is accessed by primarily civilians coming from the Berish encampment. Mind you, all of central Gaza had been destroyed and leveled to the ground. These people had nowhere to live. They were living in half-encamped shelters in an area that, with no running water and no electricity, they were coming to these sites to get food, which is their only source of food. On that particular day, it was only the third distribution that we had done in the entire mission, so to speak. We'd started on the 27th of May, distributed on the 27th, the 28th. This was our third iteration of distribution. Once distribution was complete with regards to the food being gone, as it was on many distribution, once the food is gone, you still have a matriculation of people coming onto the site because they line up in droves. And as they come to the site and the food's gone, they have to process through the site in order to leave the site to go back where they came. They can't just turn around on the road that they're on or they'll get shot at by the IDF. So as the group was leaving, the last bit of the group of people that was leaving had been there at the end, and they were picking up food from the ground, picking up scraps of food. There were no boxes. And mind you, we're not providing these civilians with meals. We're providing them with boxes of the raw ingredients to which they can make a meal. Raw ingredients such as rice, noodles, flour that require water to prepare, and we're not providing them any water whatsoever. So we're sending them away essentially empty-handed with food that they can't even cook. This group of Palestinians that was walking away from the site consisted of the elderly and children. And some of the children had stopped and asked, you know, when will there be more food? When will there be more food? And the UG Solutions contractors were shooing them away and throwing stun grenades and tear gas to get them to continue to move away from the site. This individual, a United States citizen, a U.S. contractor from UG Solutions, standing on the berm that faces south from this site, opened fire on this crowd of individuals to shoo them away, to keep them going south away from the site. At this point, they were about 160 meters away from the site. They weren't near the site. Their backs were turned to us. They were walking away. They weren't armed. They weren't posing a threat. They were doing nothing at all wrong. Their crime, they came to get food. That's what their crime was in the eyes of this individual. And as he opened fire on them, you can hear in the video a large sustained round of gunfire. That's 30 rounds coming out of the magazine of an automatic assault rifle. 30 rounds coming out of an assault rifle is an entire magazine of ammunition. That isn't an accident. That isn't a warning shot. That is intentional. That is intentionally shooting live ammunition at a group of civilians. And as he's firing, you can hear in the video, he proclaims with a woohoo. And another contractor who's standing level with me on the ground, looking out the gate that I'm looking at, where I see the individual fall to the ground, he says, "I think you got one." What he's referring to is a human being. A human being is a, "you got one." And then the other individual who's standing on the berm who is firing calls out with, "Hell yeah, boy." That is murder. That's not self-defense. That's not operating within rules of engagement or a standard operating procedure. That is murder. Shooting at and endangering and killing an unarmed civilian non-combatant who simply came to a site to get food, and you're then shooting at them out of sport or shooting at them to get them to shoo them away like they're animals. That is murder. It is dehumanizing. And the day that that happened and I brought that to the attention of the leadership with video, it was disregarded as, well, you don't know if the individual that fell because he was shot. He may have tripped. Maybe he was tired. And he never got up. Mind you, the person that adjudicated this, the person that adjudicated or from his level that someone was shot or not and whether or not anything should be done about it, is the national president of the Infidels Motorcycle Club. Just keep that in mind. That's how that day went down. The IDF didn't shoot at them. It wasn't Hamas. It wasn't a gang. It was an American contractor opening fire and shooting at an unarmed civilian who he and his family had come to the site to get food. That was his crime.
Folks, let's take a listen to what happened that day.
I think you hit one.
Hell yeah, boy!
I want to read a statement the GHF provided to PBS News when you were interviewed by them. It says, quote, "No Gazan civilians have been shot by UG Solutions personnel, period. The contractor you're referring to was encouraging IDF fire and was immediately disciplined and terminated for unprofessional conduct." Another affidavit submitted by UG says this, quote, "I did not witness any UG personnel firing warning shots in the direction of civilians. Regarding Tony Aguilar's allegations, I believe they are inaccurate and do not align with UG Solutions' strict policies and training on the use of force." A further comment from a UG spokesman, excuse me, this was from a GHF spokesman, said this, quote, "UG Solutions operates under a tiered escalation of force policy that includes warning shots when absolutely necessary to protect civilians, maintain order, and prevent violence during critical aid distributions." Let's listen again to what happened that day. You tell me what you hear.
I think you hit one.
Hell yeah, boy!
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Lieutenant,
and
it is disgusting.
The GHF's lies to obfuscate and cover that up is even more disgusting. That is not the IDF shooting. The IDF have categorically denied that they were shooting. In the first place, the weapon that's being fired does not sound like the weapons that the IDF fire. What's being fired is a fully automatic assault rifle. The IDF aren't near or on the site. The Israeli Defense Forces are not on our sites. They are on the outside of the sites. In this particular location, they were not near the site during that time. They were outside to the south, but further away. That gunfire that you hear that's being recorded off of my phone is coming within feet from where I am standing. And I am not off the site. I'm on the site. What you hear of the "hell yeah, boy," and then "I think you got one," and then and then Woohoo, those aren't the IDF. Those are Americans. There were no stringent escalation of force procedures or protocols. There were none at all. The individual that filled out the affidavit stating that he didn't see that happen that day was the individual on the site who was in charge, responsible for what happened on the site. His name is Michael Rice, another member of the Infidels Motorcycle Club, who, if that were true, he would also then be implicit, complicit in what happened. Of course, he is going to lie. Notice that on these affidavits that GHF provided, they don't provide any names. So throughout this entire process, GHF refuses to provide names, refuses to take accountability, and deny everything when it's clearly shown on video and it's clearly shown in audio and in pictures. And there are clear witness testimony from the Palestinians that are being shot at, from me who saw it happen, from the doctors at the hospitals in the vicinity of these sites that have mass casualty incidents every time we do a distribution, who receive patients with gunshot wounds, not Israeli Defense Force bullets, with bullets that the Americans are using, green tip 5.56 automatic weapons fire bullets. The IDF don't use those. It is the Americans that shot at that man and killed that man. The IDF in the coming days have even come out and have themselves testified that they are ordered to shoot at civilians. And the UG Solutions personnel shooting at the civilians, there is no way to explain that away. And I would further add, if this individual that was shooting didn't do anything wrong, why did GHF fire him? If I were that individual and I didn't do anything wrong and GHF fired me, I would be filing a wrongful termination suit. Why did they fire him? They fired him because what he did was wrong. And they didn't fire him that day or the next day or the day after. They didn't fire him until that story hit from the Associated Press in early July. I know he wasn't fired because when I left Israel on the 26th of June, he was still there. So they are lying. They have a motive to lie. They have an inherent reason to lie. Because if the truth is known, they, with others that committed these crimes, will go to prison. Of course they're going to lie.
Folks, that is Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. He was in Gaza working with UG Solutions on behalf of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which is a government, a joint U.S. and Israeli-backed aid initiative in Gaza. He's describing what would be, according to international law, a war crime, and that is the intentional killing of a non-combatant civilian. Lieutenant Aguilar, what was your status in Gaza legally as a security contractor? We just have about a minute. What was your status, legally speaking?
We entered the country of Israel, and therefore into Gaza, armed to the teeth with weaponry on a tourist visa. We entered the country on a B2 tourist visa. $25, paid online, walk through the gate, scan your passport, you get a tourist B2 visa. We were there as tourists.
Folks, stay with us. We're going to talk about Lieutenant Aguilar's protests, his advocacy that he has engaged in since returning from Israel in June. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Does Trump's big bill end taxes on tips and overtime? No. President Donald Trump's new law exempts certain tip and overtime income from federal tax. But the deductions expire in 2028 and come with limits. Workers earning under $150,000 can deduct up to $25,000 in tips and $12,500 in overtime. Social Security, Medicare, and state taxes still apply. The Tax Policy Center says 2% of households will benefit from the tip provision, saving $1,800. The White House estimates $1,400 in average annual savings from the overtime deduction. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Matt and Air on Air.
Dr. Kristen Lierley is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for 2 things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping
in
chess.
Listen to you laugh.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Van Orden, he is now well into the hundreds of tweets, many of them with insults and profanity, wasting his time, which means he's wasting our money that we pay him to do a job other than scrolling and trolling. The more troubling tweets call for people to be fired or for federal funding to be cut simply because he doesn't like how they reacted to Charlie Kirk's murder and or his legacy.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome if you're just joining me. I'm Maggie Dong. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Today, we're talking with retired Lieutenant Anthony Aguilar. He retired from the U.S. Army Special Forces Green Beret after 25 years of distinguished service, deployments to Iraq, Afghanistan, and a number of other countries. He then worked for a security contractor, UG Solutions. They were hired by the Joint U.S.-Israeli Humanitarian Aid Initiative, also known as the GHF. He blew the whistle because on May 29th of this year, he witnessed what is, according to international law, a war crime. And that is a security contractor killing an unarmed non-combatant civilian. Right before the break, we were talking about what the legal status of these security contractors are when they enter these countries, with, according to Lieutenant Aguilar, more armaments, more munitions than he ever entered a combat zone as a Green Beret, literally armed to the teeth. And you were sharing, Lieutenant Aguilar, that you were there on a tourist visa. How are they getting the arms in?
Well, so the, what was another interesting aspect of this operation is that it was all done very, very covertly, very hush-hush and secretly in terms of the us entering Gaza, or entering Israel on a tourist visa, but then also not only on the tourist visa, but then the overt exercise of ensuring that we had no affiliation with the GHF or UG Solutions, making sure that on our Israeli visa that we did not mention who we were working for or what we were doing. That was concerning. when we got into Israel, all of the weapons that we received, the pistols, the rifles, the machine guns, the munitions, were all provided by an Israeli company that is known as IWI, or Israeli Weapons Incorporation, that is Israeli owned by Israeli oligarchs that were providing the weapons and the ammunition. So when you start tying those pieces together, when you see an organization that is primarily employed by individuals from the Infidels Motorcycle Club, using weapons purchased in country from a third party who happens to also be the people within the Israeli government that want to see the realization of this this new Gaza resort real estate concept. And you start putting those pieces together, you start to see a pretty clear picture of this puzzle, that all of this is deliberate, intentional, and by design. The genocide, the starvation, the displacement, the violence, it's all designed. It was all planned from the beginning. This is not an accident. And the United States, through backing of the GHF with taxpayers' dollars, mind you, $30 million, $30 million more coming. When Americans back home can't put food on the table or fill their car with gas or don't know if they're going to be able to pay their mortgage next month, we're spending over $60 million to an organization that is hand in hand with the Israeli government in committing a genocide. And that's a fact. That is a fact that America has to own. And if we don't, we're disingenuous to ourselves and to our values.
I want to share with folks some sound of you engaging your First Amendment rights to protest. This was September 13th of this year at a congressional hearing. Folks, let's take a listen.
The United States government is complicit in genocide.
Don't touch him.
You have an obligation to the Constitution of the United States.
Eddie. Eddie.
That was my guest today protesting at a congressional hearing on September 13th. And to just fill out some of the information that you mentioned, Lieutenant Aguilar, in June 2025, the State Department, which now oversees foreign aid, approved a $30 million grant to the GHF, basically to hire these private security contractors to oversee aid delivery. But that's not the sum total of U.S. aid to Israel. In April 2024, Congress passed an Emergency Supplemental Appropriations Act that included $3.5 billion in foreign military financing grants to Israel, as well as $5.2 billion in missile defense systems. That arms seller that Lieutenant Aguilar mentioned before, an Israeli-based arms seller, the armaments that they sold to the contractor UG Solutions that Lieutenant Aguilar worked for, those were American-made munitions. Lieutenant Aguilar, you're on your way to D.C. now. What do you want the listeners to know about the situation in Gaza and the transparency and accountability of the U.S. government in their actions in Gaza?
Well, as you heard in my protests, I wasn't there protesting against some cause or a movement or a political party or a bill. I asked the members of our Congress to abide by the Constitution. What I think it's important for listeners to understand, because they may not understand the nuance in terms of my military service. I served in the United States Army as an officer. I was not enlisted. I was not a non-commissioned officer. I was an officer. And when I commissioned from West Point, I put my right hand in the air and I put my left hand on a Bible, I swore an oath to the Constitution. And that's what I'm continuing to do, and that's what I will do in D.C., and that's what I will continue to do with members of our Congress.
We thank you for your service, Lieutenant. We thank you for your activism. We thank you for being here with us today. Folks, that's going to do it for me. Yeah, thank you so much, sir. Safe travels. That's going to do it for me today. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together for our Constitution.
Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The CDC Advisory Panel Board meeting on child vaccinations voted to narrow its recommendations on the combined measles, mumps, rubella, and chickenpox, known as the MMRV, finding it's not recommended for children before the age of four. The combo shot could still be available for a child's second dose given between the ages of four and six. ABC medical contributor Dr. Darian Sutton says the recent changes at the CDC and restrictions on vaccines may create some confusion.
A lot of the frustration for many parents, their children getting too many jabs. Now today's vote effectively would make it so that that recommendation would be more than one injection to protect against measles, mumps, rubella, and chickenpox.
Israel continues its ground operations in Gaza City, efforting to defeat Hamas and secure the release of remaining hostages. It's also displacing 450,000 Palestinians. President Trump says a deal is close on TikTok to keep the app running in the U.S. This is ABC News.